Jivecast episode
106.
Okay.
Of 139. Entitled Humanity.
Season 6, episode 2.
Yes, season 6, episode 2. Aired 24 September 1990.
Still 1990, just not going to escape.
Oh, and this
fucking
is
air.
Very 1990s.
Yeah, you can even see some of those 1990s and 89 shaped minivans in the background in a couple of your shots.
Okay, which is not good because they're supposed to be in Bucharest, Romania. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, it's only, I think it's later in the episode you see like a Dodge Caravan or two.
Okay, so the summary is MacGyver saves the lives of a Romanian soldier who has taken him hostage. MacGyver then tries to appeal to the soldier's sense of humanity.
It's kind of Enemy Mine, kind of that episode of Stargate SG-1 from the first season where the guy who's playing the role that's supposed to be played by fucking Ultron, Spader, the guy that's the TV version of Spader, is in the woods with an alien race, and it's just them in the woods in Canada, and like they're enemies.
You mean the guy who was married to Lexa Doig and some other incredibly hot sci-fi actress?
I don't know who Lexa Doig is, but yeah, that guy.
The chick from... Okay, she was Andromeda in Andromeda.
Okay, I never watched that.
Super hot. She was in a couple of Stargates, I think.
See, I'm Claudia Black, schnoz and all, or Gigi Edgley from Farscape, or my favorite, Xenia Seberg from Lex.
Ooh, and she was also one of the evil bad guys in Continuum.
Okay.
The terrorists from the future who was, I don't know what she is, like part Asian, part Dutch, maybe.
All right.
Super hot. Anyways, the guy pulled his good share of tail.
It feels like he'd like sideways with vagina just by looking at him. I don't know what it is about. Or is it horizontal? I don't remember the racist term I'm supposed to use. Yeah, this is just like that episode. It's MacGyver in the woods with an enemy. And then, just get into this. This is one
seems like a very cheap episode.
It's a bottle episode. They shot it in Burnaby.
Yes. So we start in downtown Vancouver playing for Bucharest.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually, oddly enough, that is the building they're using is an old federal building called the Sinclair Center,
okay.
Which is where you have to go for like a passport office. It's a really nice old, like high Gothic Victorian. It is named after the grandfather of our current prime minister.
Interesting. Yeah, it's really cool that I do a show with somebody in Canada so you can actually comment all this stuff. I just thought about like that added benefit of you being a co-host.
So the current Trudeau, the father, who was probably he was French and very likely gay, married a liberal supporter's daughter who was like, I don't know, 40 years younger than him, something Sinclair. And so that's Sinclair. He was a liberal politician from Vancouver.
All right.
And rich as fuck, apparently.
Oh.
There are
so like the Trudeaus are like your Rockefellers.
Oh, Trudeau's, I wouldn't say he's a billionaire, but he's probably pretty close. He is a multi-millionaire.
Like, who are they to you, though?
To us.
This
would be like John Kennedy Jr.
Ah, okay.
Without the assassinations and ties to Nazism.
Save that for the next episode, spoiler alert.
And so we've got soldiers moving around in an underground tunnel while an agent watches them outside from a hot dog stand, which I'm not sure would have existed in post-Soviet Bucharest.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. And MacGyver's wearing the worst outfit. It's part Miami Vice, gay prostitute, part rancher.
They are meeting a babysitter delegate who has no time for Pete's desire to shame, eat, and be a tourist.
He's like, but you have a matching body to me. Yes, but I'll live much longer, and my eyesight is better, even though I have glasses.
Yes, and the babysitter would like the past left there, and not for foreigners to be digging around in, not through the secret archives. And yes, MacGyver is wearing, it's kind of a Paula Poundstone-ish suit.
Let me babysit your kids, fellas.
And part, who's the guy from Talking Heads in that Talking Heads video where he's wearing a suit suit that's like eight times too large for him?
I don't know, it's David. What's his name? David Byrne.
I don't know. But
I might fuck this up now. You can't do this to me.
The suit is giant. The suit jacket is giant. The pants are high-waisted. The shirt is just billowy. And of
David
course,
Byrne.
Colorless. David Byrne. Okay. And it's just, it's like something Paula Poundstone would wear, or if it was in a bright primary color, I don't know, Steve Harvey.
The only primary colors in this episode are blah. The darkest, most gray, monotone, monochrome, just fucking ugly tinted episode you've ever seen. It's surprising they didn't have digital color correction to make this episode look so ugly.
Yes. So, of course, all secret bunkers, secret nuclear bunkers, need tunnels.
Yeah. It's our archives, so they're built to be a nuclear bunker. It's like, really? This looks like a shitty office building.
But they've apparently been sealed. And you would be shocked at how insecure secret tunnels make secure buildings.
Yeah, and so the separatists...
I'm not kidding. They are really... I mean, they you might as well just have unlocked doors.
Yeah, no, that's the whole plot of Homeland the last season with the Pakistan-U.S. embassy, and they just came underneath and shot everybody to death. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
So they basically... Their nuclear bunker somehow is tunnels that have access to the outside world, which doesn't make sense.
Well, because that's how... So you can escape.
Yeah, but the whole point of being a nuclear bunker is to survive the radiation. If you have a tunnel underneath...
Well, because the people are breaking in through the escape doors.
Okay. Well, it's quite easy for them to get in, and I guess they're separatists?
Yes, they're hardline former communists.
That's right. So they're trying to get back to old status quo, and they leave a thermite bomb.
Well, yes. So they take off two knobs and make a little explosion, which inside makes a shelf wobble, which they then push down onto the two guards inside, through which the tunnel rats emerge. Everyone's now being held at gunpoint until the boss comes in. He represents K-Force and says in a minute and a half, they will burn to ash along with the archives.
I represent K-Pop.
Yeah. So I'm going to call him Megaforce.
Uh-huh.
And he says that the will of Ceausescu lives on. And they leave and bar the door, which if you notice, the push-through door has pull door handles on both sides.
Yeah.
Matt goes to fiddle with the bomb, which is actually built inside of a thermos.
Yeah. Maybe it's a thermite bomb.
Yes, Pete says it looks like a thermite bomb.
How would you know that, Pete? Well, it's in a thermos.
Yeah, and one half of it seems to have a red fluid. Then there's like silvery metal with some balls, like big giant ball bearings in it.
Yeah, it looks like a weird butt dildo.
One of the Frenchies says he's trained in electronics. Max says it will do him no good. If only he were a former military EOD bomb tech from Vietnam.
And there's really horrible sleeve continuity because Max pulled the buttons out of his sleeves and they keep moving up and down as he's trying to do his MacGyverism.
So instead, what does MacGyver do? He cracks open the safe, for which no one has a combination, using an intercom and a phone.
Yeah. He rips the phone off the wall, and he's using that to crack the safe.
No, the intercom off the wall.
Yeah, he rips off the wall, and then he's connecting the cable to it.
Yes, because vault cracking is so much easier than bomb disarming.
And I've tried to do what he's doing with the circuit board and the wires. I brought a circuit board and wires and one of those giant 9-volt batteries to school. So it was like a video game. Well, I guess I'm the first Muhammad kid. Weird. And I had it at my desk, and nobody even noticed. And I was just like, all right, I'll take this video game wire, and I will connect it to this battery and touch the circuit board. Oh, my God, everything's on fire on my desk.
Yeah. Mac does get the door open but doesn't close it before the bomb goes off inside, which means it's not much of a fucking bomb because it barely even moves the door.
Yeah. So it's really like...
And then, but Megaforce didn't even clear the hallway. There's someone outside in the hallway that they just left to die?
Yeah.
So he starts shooting the other soldiers, and then Mac uses a filing cabinet on a knockback dolly to ram through the door and take out the gunman, but he gets himself shot in the shoulder while doing it.
And this wound will persist the entire episode.
Yes, Matt goes to punch the guy, who then grabs his fist and twists him around into a human shield, threatening to break his neck. He then escapes and blows up the tunnel behind them.
Yeah, that's weird. What is this episode supposed to be?
Oh, well, it's a bit less of a hot fucking mess than their next one that we're going to do.
Ugh.
Yeah, and here is where I question the Megaforce plan. Because they left people behind... for no reason. They did not have an adequate bomb. So I don't quite understand their process here.
Yeah, it's really flimsy. It's basically all set up to get out to the woods and have the whole theme of the episode, humanity.
Yes. So at the end of the tunnel, Max has hardly bled. Megaforce's badass carjacks a ladder, and then they drive off into the woods until a tire blows.
I'm going to fuck you behind a tree, rich boy.
And Mac has talked himself out of being shot maybe twice, saying he's going to be, you're going to need me.
Yeah.
Don't shoot me.
Where's your humanity? I'm really good at sucking dick.
Yes. In the trunk, they find lots of crap, but no spare tire. Mac talks his way out of being shot again and then runs behind a tree when he then uselessly sprays down with his Uzi.
This is the most horrible part of the episode. He's like, I'm not going to get shot in the back, and I'm not going to run. So
you're going to have to come around and shoot me in the face.
It's like, one of those Uzi bolts will go through that tree. You're full of shit.
No, it wouldn't.
Oh, really?
No. Uzi shoot like 9mm pistol rounds.
It wouldn't chip off the edge there and get him in the corner of the head?
Off the edge, but it's going to deflect. And it's not like it's an armor-piercing Full Metal Jacket. You're talking ball nose, 9mm, I think. Pistol rounds.
So it's such a slow move. I don't know how the guy doesn't shoot him. Like, he literally waits for him to clear the tree.
Yes, so Mac yells his way out of being shot. He is then standing up and says, there's a snake behind Megaforce, who does not fall for his wily capitalist ways, and then gets bitten by a snake.
Yeah, he goes, there's literally a snake behind you. I'm not trying to lie. There's a snake behind you. And the guy's like, I'm not falling for that. And then he gets bit by a snake.
Yes, Mac then runs away into the wild wilds of Pacific Northwest cedar rainforest somewhere in Burnaby. We now cut to Petey Pete arriving with the official at the police headquarters. There's lots of little time-wasting shots.
Yeah, there's additional photography stuff almost.
Yes, Mac is now futzing to save the life of Megaforce by sucking out the venom.
I know, it's really gay.
So he takes apart a metal flashlight, which then is magically made out of rubber, so he can compress the rubber, stick it against the wound, and release it so it will suck up and suck out the poison.
Because
all flashlight bodies are made out of soft, pliable rubber.
And they have some very convenient cutting.
Yes.
Right before he's about to suck it up, he looks at the camera, and he looks over at the guy who's laying there, but he almost has a look of ecstasy on his face, like he's like getting more comfortable on the dirt.
Yes. At the police headquarters, the commander of Megaforce has sent in a recorded message in English to the Romanian media. They will not tolerate foreign meddling, but he thinks that this has all been a success. So if he finds out, all the rage will fall upon MacGyver.
Yeah, and so it's MacGyver, a series of scenes of him trying to explain to this guy why he saved him and how they don't have to fight.
Yes. The official says there is no chance that MacGyver will survive this.
Yeah.
Mac has now cut off all his sleeves and gone for water.
I love sleeveless MacGyver.
Yes. Mac questions if Megaforce even has a heart.
Remember when MacGyver had arm definition?
Yes. Richard Dean Anderson does some sucky, petulant acting, I say.
With his pet rock?
That's coming up. We cut to Megaforce's subcommander driving up to what is now a very expensive Volkswagen Combi pickup. Very rare in Canada and ultra rare in the United States. So it's a Volkswagen van cut down into a pickup. The American chicken tax kind of made them completely illegal.
Okay.
Or very expensive. And he goes down into a bunker under a barn. And I have to comment that these Romanians are all looking rather Aryan.
They're like pockmarked Nazis.
I'm used to short and fat Romanians that look like Mario. And unfortunately, I work with Romanians and they're all fucking insane.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Burnaby, Matt continues to nurse Megaforce. Mac starts talking about that the bullet went right through. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Megaforce is not a big talker, but he doesn't understand why Mac came back for him.
Speaking of going right through, did you watch The Leftovers?
Yes, I did.
What the fuck is that? Is he immortal?
He came back for the fucking dead. He was in purgatory.
Again.
Yes.
He's immortal. Is he immortal in the town or is he immortal everywhere?
No, he was sent back. I know.
He wasn't really sent back. The guy was like, really? You want to go back again?
Yes.
He's immortal. He's okay. Keep going.
So Megaforce says that torture will get him to reveal nothing.
Wait. Did you watch Fargo?
No, I have not watched Fargo.
Oh. There was a UFO, dude.
I heard that, and then I skipped on to the next podcast.
It's like the greatest season they've ever done, and then just out of nowhere, it comes out of nowhere, and they're like, did you see that? Yeah, whatever, and they just move on. It's like,
I'm going to try to watch, I think I'll be able to watch 9 of the 10 episodes when I'm away.
It just doesn't, they don't even address it. It's not like a military thing. It's not that. Oh, shit. All right, keep going.
He then reveals that he was taken as a 5-year-old and raised to be a soldier to be part of Megaforce. He then reveals his name is Victor. So he's not doing too good at not revealing anything. Meanwhile, Megaforce, the main Megaforce, is hunting for Mac and Victor. Mac has luckily brought along a fishing rod, which seems to have brought on a flashback with Victor, who could kill Mac in his sleep. Mac isn't too trusting. He does cozy up with a rock.
Yeah, so the guy's going to hug the fishing rod. It's his huggy bookie and his childhood memories of his rosebud. And then MacGyver picks up a skull-crushing rock just in case.
Yes. Victor flashes back to black and white and pulls out a boot knife, which he's going to use to slice his wrist open until Mac yells at him to stop.
Yep.
Mac yells that he's been programmed. He needs to decide for himself. Walk away. Escape. Mac takes the knife out of his hands and gets Victor to spill yet again what this is all really about.
My commander touched my dick!
Victor says he'll take him as far as the highway and then maybe he'll disappear into the countryside.
You don't have to do this, man.
We then cut to the main Megaforce inspecting the broken down car and I think finding a magazine, which I don't remember why that would be important.
Yeah, I don't either. I guess because spent some ammo. But you can see all the bullet wounds.
Oh, a magazine. Okay, I was thinking of paper magazine.
Oh. he found a Playboy. He's like, you go jack off to this.
Yes. So meanwhile, in the forests of Burnaby, Victor reveals a memory of fishing and friendship and death. This is why he was trying to kill himself. Blah, blah, blah. When he was 11, he had a friend, and I will say lover, Nikolai, who found fishing poles, and they started sneaking out at night to go fuck or go fishing.
Yeah, the scene where they're fishing, it looks like they're looking down at their wieners.
They got caught and then were ordered ordered to have a fight to the death.
With a knife?
With knives. So here, I wonder who won. And, apparently Victor won.
Yeah, or the other guy took his identity, the talented Mr. Ripley style.
Yes. So Mac talks about friends he has lost. This is a little different, asshole. How many of those friends did you personally have to kill with a knife?
You thought these were pockmarks. These are from my friend Nikolai stabbing me in the face.
Yes. We now cut to the helicopter search in which the official and Pete look through binoculars.
Our kids have a knife fight to the death in this episode, and they photograph it with this like weepy like background. Like they're like child Nazis or something, and it's really creepy.
Yes, but I love that the searching is Pete with a set of binoculars and old guy with a set of binoculars.
And why would they have to be killed for fishing at night?
Because they're being programmed to be super killers.
So you murder your friend for fishing?
They're like Drago in Rocky IV.
Hey, even he had a moment of I'm fucked.
Megaforce has now caught up to Victor, who was yelled at by the commander to stop the American. He then knocks MacGyver the fuck out, face down into a puddle.
He then
wakes up in a cell.
It's so great seeing MacGyver fall face down into a puddle. I don't know why it made me so happy.
Yes. The commander says he has a rather elaborate execution plan to plan for. Victor tells MacGyver he did as he was ordered.
How are we going to kill him, boss? We're going to stab him in the dick a lot.
Yes, Victor is debriefed and assaulted by the commander. He says he's the only one who cares about what happens to him. He doesn't believe in humanity. Victor does not think that MacGyver is a threat, though.
Oh, God, that's so fucking weird.
So Mac pulls the wire cage off the lampshade and tries to use it to start picking the lock, but is caught by Victor, who then presents him with the keys to the cell. Victor will distract a guard and gives Mac directions on where to go. Mac gets to the car, but now Mac has to find a way to signal the helicopter. We find out is nearly out of fuel. So somehow he rips off the tailpipe, bends it, which then turns it magically into a flare gun. Which he uses to signal the helicopter. So that's just a complete bullshit MacGyverism.
Yeah, one of the fakest ones in the series history.
Yes, but then we see that Victor has been watching. And why is that? Because this is all part of an evil Megaforce plot. And of course, the helicopter lands and gets out, and everyone gets taken hostage.
Victor, you don't have to do this.
Yes, Victor says it was the only way that Mac could live. But Mac won't leave Pete. Mac still, and they're now being marched back into camp. But Mac, of course, still has the fishing pole.
And you can see in Victor's face when he says he won't leave Pete that their friendship reminds him of his own friend he had to murder. Yes.
Victor is willing to help them with a grenade, but Mac says he has a better way that involves distracting and punching.
I only got one punch in me, Victor. He's like, what? Trust me, I can only do this once. You'll see. Yes,
Victor holds off the Megaforce commander until his gun jams and he gets shot.
Yep.
But the trick's on the commander. He still has the grenade and blows the both of them.
Seeing the fat man get shot in the butt's great.
Yes. So Mac and the official are getting patched up. Oh, because the official got shot.
He gets shot in the butt cheek.
Yes.
The big fat guy gets shot in the ass. And then his leg twitches like a fat guy.
Yes. We find out that any of the survivors will be rehabilitated, not shot. And then Mac has a touching moment while two small stretcher bearers try to hold up the very large Victor. A dead Victor. While his leg flops out, MacGyver has to walk over and put his leg back on. And says at least he discovered his humanity in the end.
Yeah.
So, the lesson we learn, never trust a gypsy.
Yeah, and if you make friends with a foreign soldier, he'll probably die via grenade for you.
Yes. And next week, so imagine Bill Burr saying, "Oh, Jesus, a gun in the Challenger Club."
Yeah, Challenger Club is back, and there are guns. And it's somehow worse than this episode.
It's an amazingly bad episode. Which we're going to be recording shortly after this episode. And then there will be no episode for a week and a bit while we're off for Christmas.
Yep. Lax Dude's going to finally have a vacation, and we didn't have time to bank episodes because life's hard.
And it's because watching two MacGyvers in one week is bad enough.
I want to speed this up, but my God, man, this show is getting like. They went from like an.
You have to drip the poison out. You can't take too much. You'll get sick.
I saw Riddick. I know.
Oh, I haven't.
It's the last Riddick movie. It's good. He gets a dog because he gets a ban on this planet immediately. It's like a sequel, direct sequel to Chronicles of Riddick. They basically just leave him on a planet telling him it's his home planet, but it's not. And they abandoned him. And then he finds this like hyena dog alien thing and he raises it. And there's this like weird local underwater scorpion thing on the planet that comes out when it rains as opposed to Pitch Black where it comes out when it's nighttime. And it has venom, and he starts injecting him and his dog with the venom every day so they get a little bit stronger and more immune to it.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, and then they shoot the dog in the head.
Of course they do.
Yeah,
so,
piece of shit.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.